This episode, we don't like the things we like. Welcome to the Grand Affidavit. He is Grant.
He's David.
And basically that, we are going to talk about things that we do like, but we feel like maybe we shouldn't like them. Maybe we should have outgrown them, or they're not the cool thing to like, or they're just all around bad for you. That's what we're going to talk about, right?
Totally.
Totally. Totally. Do you have something, Grant, that you like that you're just like, I probably shouldn't like this?
Well, it's a food thing. Well, actually, a lot of these things would be food things.
For you. But
for me. I'll try and think of other things. Well, it could be like ska, but I like ska.
Yeah, but do you feel like you shouldn't like ska?
Well, who likes ska anymore?
Exactly.
I guess less than Jake.
Ska was a kind of music that I feel like I can only, regardless of how, you know, say like angry or charged the lyrics are, I always felt like it needed to be sunny for me to listen to and just like, you know, out in the sunshine on a summer day. That's the only time I can listen to ska.
I liked dancing to ska.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because you could be as crazy as you want when you dance to ska, and you don't have to worry about getting punched in the face like you
that's
do at a
true.
Punk show.
I was going to say, at least like skanking, you know, there's like rhythm to it, right? Like you're going along with the beat of the music. Whereas you're right, like at a punk show, you literally either just running into each other or you're running in circles. Like they're right. See, punk shows are comprised. I figured it out. Punk shows are comprised of all the kids and now adults who were never good enough at sports, but really just wanted to run around and be on sports teams. So they just run around in circles. They're all racing in their own minds. That's what's happening at punk shows.
Although I'd probably still like to be in a mosh pit.
Oh, here's the funny thing. So I still go to punk shows. Like not long ago, I went and saw Face to Face. Mill and Colin was here, and I go to all these shows, and I was like, I'm just going to stand, you know, at the back along the side or whatever. Like I got to that age where I'm like, I don't want to be in the pit. But then we went, I went on a road trip with some buddies and we went and saw MXPX in Seattle. And we're sitting there and we're so old. We're at the Showbox Theater in Seattle. And there's some spots kind of to the backslash on the side where you can get a decent view and sit down. And so this is what we're doing. And then finally I'm like, you know what? I'm going to, just for a few songs, I went and got in the pit. And I was like, man, I haven't done this in forever. And then,
were you winded?
No. And then when Mill and Colin came, when I went and saw them, I had a buddy who was at the show. I was there with some other friends, and I knew this other guy that was at the show. And turns out he's standing, a couple rows in front of us. You know, I kind of text him, like, hey, turn around, we're here. And then it said, you know, like, this one song comes on. He turns around, he's like, come on! And so I went and joined him in the pit. And I'm like, man, like, I haven't. Like now I go to shows where if I'm with buddies, I'm like, I'm totally back up there again. It's just, it's so much. I forgot how fun it is, even though people are stepping on all of you covered in sweat. So, I mean,
you're losing shoes.
Maybe I shouldn't like that, you know, being covered in other people's sweat. And now when I go to shows, like you used to go to all ages shows, right? So there was never, you know, if people were drinking, there was a beer garden. They had to be back in the beer garden. Whereas now going to, you know, like 18 plus shows, or I guess 21 and over shows in the States, there's people who are in the pit with their beer. And so now you're getting, you know, sweaty dudes all over you and guys throwing their beer. And, you know, it's just like, it just turns into a giant mess. But
what band did we see when we were in San Diego?
The Ataris. Yeah. So when we saw the Ataris, we kind of stood back. Right. But I was exhausted that day too. I think that was the day I got there. Right. Yeah.
Well, and we had walked around for like 3 hours, 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
But didn't we go to Hodad's that day too?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Yeah. So like we got there, I flew there and then got lost taking transit to get to the hotel. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where I am. I was supposed to get off at some stop. I'm now at the end of the line. And I'm like, I don't really want to use my phone, like my GPS for, you know, data reasons, because they just eat you. And I didn't have a, you know, a travel package or anything, but anyways, ended up finding, but yeah, you're right. We then went to Hodad's, walked around for a couple hours, and then, went to the show.
My feet were sore.
my feet were all sore and stuff. But I mean, had I gone to that show, it like had that trip happened this year, let's say, since I've been rejuvenated with the pit, I may have like, you know, grabbed an energy drink, drank, like slammed it down and then be like, let's go. And then gotten in there. But
yeah, if you would have said, let's go, I would have been like, but I'm old. And then I would have said, okay.
We were literally leaning against one of the posts in the back. Like, we got there, and I can remember being slightly sad that the upstairs of the House of Blues was closed. Because I'm like, oh, yeah. If upstairs is open, we can sit down.
I remember you talked about how much we could just sit down the upstairs. It'd be great.
Yeah.
It was closed.
But that's like, I'd gone to shows that were exactly that. A couple years ago, went and saw Taking Back Sunday and The Used. And we didn't sit down, but we went upstairs so we could like lean against a rail. Like my wife was there, so she sat on a stool and whatever. It's not like we're like sitting at tables, but there's a lot of times where that's what we look to do. And I'm like, now I'm like, when I just go with, you know, a group of guys or whatever, I'm like, let's get in there or at least stand closer than at the back.
Yeah, I would totally have gotten an energy drink and a PBR tall boy.
Right.
And just take turns chugging both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until they're both gone, and then I would have gone in.
I just imagine that you'd open them both, and it's not that you'd take turns. You just, like, lean the head back and, you know, both cans at once. I wonder what that would taste like, a Red Bull and a PBR.
I don't know. That sounds horrible.
It would probably make the PBR taste better, maybe. I don't know.
Well, PBR is like water, so you can take it down
exactly.
quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay, so we got off topic real quick there because I don't feel bad about liking mosh pits and going to punk shows. I think at one point, maybe I don't know. They're fun, right?
Ka-ching! Yeah, they're fun.
That's me smiling and putting a thumbs up, and I had to make the sound effect. Ka-ching!
Well, another thing that I think is just gross, but I still like on some level, and it would be the same as what Anthony Bourdain talks about it too. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, there's nothing like meat in a tube, in tube form. Street meat in a tube form. And because when he's in New York, he'll drink the horrible hot dog water hot dog.
Right.
And I'm all for that. I mean, in Red Deer, there used to be the guy outside of the club with like the hot plate.
He's just selling hot dogs.
And it was just like hot dogs and peppers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I never got one.
Right.
And I regret that now. And they were always reasonable, smelled good. And I should have got one. But I also had never watched Anthony Bourdain at that point to learn that tube and meat form is great. But when I buy hot dogs now, like I get the Nathan's hot dog. But if I haven't bought hot dogs in a while and I'm grabbing a hot dog from the fridge, it's just Ballpark Frank, which are horrible hot dogs. Just gross.
But you still love them.
I still enjoy them. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I've never actually, I would never say I've met a bad hot dog. I mean, I don't like boiled hot dogs. I mean, I suppose
I prefer fried hot dogs.
Well, fried, barbecued, right? Like if you know, up here where it's not barbecue weather 365 days out of the year, although some people will argue with me on that. It show is you can barbecue when it's minus 20. I will fry them, but generally I'm like, no, I want them barbecued. But yeah,
you want them blackened?
Yeah, and splitting. You know, it's just they're so good. Hot, like I went to a hot dog place here recently, and you can get some crazy hot dogs where it's literally like the hot dog itself is a meal. You can get more. You don't need more. Maybe sometimes depends how drunk you are. But I had a hot dog that had like fried chicken on it, and then like pickled onions and. It was
ridiculous.
Yeah, and spicy mayo. It was so good. You got it. I'm sure there's a place like that down in.
Oh, there's places close like enough. That everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, like go check it. I also had one that had, you know, like mac and cheese and jalapenos on it, and it was like that was actually hard to eat.
in true, like those are gourmet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're not crappy hot dogs. I'm just saying, like hot dogs anyway. I like.
But
them.
I think most things in this category, things you like but shouldn't. In the food category for this whole thing,
yeah,
would revolve around things you eat when you're drunk.
Like 7-Eleven, like potato wedges?
Double Big Mac at McDonald's.
I don't know if I've ever eaten a double Big Mac.
Yeah, I used to go after we'd been drinking with my friend. Well, not my friend. He was just a person that I knew. I guess he was my friend at the time.
Ouch!
He was dating. Well, I mean, I hung out with him a lot, but he was dating.
You know,
Carlene.
He's not my friend. He's not my friend. I hung out with him, but he's a dick. He's not my friend.
He's not a dick. He's just like we. Like right when they stopped dating, we stopped hanging out.
Right.
So I was like, yeah. So anyways, after a long night of drinking, we would go get two double Big Macs each and eat them both.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, I've never done the double Big Mac. Like, I've done my fair share of Big Macs, but I've never felt inclined to add two more patties.
Yeah, I still think that McDonald's is a thing that I like, and I haven't eaten it in 5 or 6 years.
Right.
But I get a craving every once in a while where it's like, oh, that cheeseburger, that perfect combination of mustard and ketchup and... Yeah. And onion bits. Oh,
we were eating at McDonald's the other day, and a lot of times now I get their wraps. We talked in an earlier episode about like sweet chili. Well, they have like a sweet chili wrap that I think is fantastic. But my kids, we always just get them cheeseburgers or whatever. And one of them didn't finish, or no, they gave us an extra cheeseburger. And so I ate some of it. I was like, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, it's been a little bit since I've had like a straight McDonald's cheeseburger. And I'm like, it doesn't even taste like a burger, but it's delicious. Like I'm like, what does this taste like? You know, it's like when you get, say, potato chips and they're like, these are ketchup flavored potato chips. And when you eat it, I'm like, this doesn't actually taste like ketchup. I was like, it doesn't actually taste like a burger, but I'm not complaining because it's still delicious.
Yeah, there's another like Dairy Queen down here.
Yeah.
Isn't the same as Dairy Queen up there,
which is too bad.
So they're like the burgers in Canada are really, I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're, just get a cheeseburger there. They're pretty good. And I think their onion rings are delicious.
Yeah.
But down here, it's just a really shitty version of that cheeseburger. It was okay. A real crappy, horrible, horrible version of that cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And I still love it. it's, you know, like 100 times less tasty.
Yeah.
Than the one in Canada. But yeah. I don't know. It's something about that. Just the straight up dill pickle chip, you know, one dill pickle chip and mustard.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I appreciate that you call it a dill pickle chip. but I was going to say, I used to make the argument that the Dairy Queen cheese, like double cheeseburger, was the best fast food burger out there. I don't know if I still think that or not.
In Canada.
Right. Well, yes. I don't know if I still think that or not. It's still delicious. But, another thing, well, I don't know why we didn't bring this one up when we were talking about things that I like, but I feel like maybe I shouldn't when we were talking about going to concerts, because pop punk is one of those things, or punk rock. Like, I actually at one point in time felt that I was like, I outgrew this, and I sold all these pop punk CDs and punk CDs and whatever. In fact, it was when I was living with some roommates and we wanted to buy a crappy pool table for our basement, so we like pawned off all of our, like a bunch of our CDs. And so I sold these, and nowadays I'm thankful for things like, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and whatever, because I can go back and I can listen to these. But for a while there, I was always like, oh, why did I get rid of that? Because, you know, in my mind, I was like, nope, I'm past pop punk. Pop punk's for high school kids. And now it's probably comprises at least 75% of what I listen to.
Well, and you still listen to a bit of Dashboard, right?
Well, and it's funny because... like there was a while where I was, and then he just kind of like came back around where I was like, oh, I actually really still like this. So I should have put pop punk / emo, like just sad boy stuff. I feel too, though, like that whole genre, there's like the pop punk and the emo thing. There was a time, you know, after its peak in the early 2000s, you know, for, let's say from 2005 on, there was just a lot of really crappy pop punk and emo that sort of came out. I was like, I have no, you know, like Fallout Boy and stuff like that. I'm like, I have zero interest in listening to Fallout Boy. But nowadays there's a lot of bands that I'm like, oh, like a band called Knuckle Puck or the Wonder Years or Moose Blood, just like all these different bands. I'm like, these guys are really good. And I can't help it. And if any one of those guys come up here, I'm all over going to those shows and getting in the pit.
The very sad pit.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of crying. And it's funny because they like wear that on their sleeve now. Like there's a band called Real Friends. I'm pretty sure it's Real Friends. Well, that's the name of the band, but I'm pretty sure they have like merch that says like Illinois Sad Boys. It's like their like tagline. I'm like, that's fantastic. But Yeah.
But there were some great pop punk songs that were just fun. Like If You See Jordan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's just a fun song.
Oh yeah. And now like going back, but it's funny because I go back to say a band like Something Corporate, and that album specifically that If You See Jordan was on. And I remember really loving that album. If I listen to it now, I'm like, oh, you know what? There was definitely a difference between, you know, your bands like for example, Blink 182 or Newfound Glory, who were like, I think, like on their game at that time. And then like Something Corporate, where I'm like, they had some songs that were really good, and then I just felt there was like some filler. Like I've gone back and tried getting back into Something Corporate, and outside of, you know, a couple of those songs, I'm like, I'm not feeling it as much, I guess. But If You See Jordan is a fantastic song.
Now,
especially when it hits like the chorus again at the end, when he finally just like drops the F bomb as opposed to just spelling it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. It also helped that we know Jordan, Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
But now do you think that you like this music again because you took the break?
It's possible. And you know, part of me was like, because like getting back into liking pop punk, it was a very like nostalgic thing, right? Like I was going back and listening to all of those old bands. And, you know, I would say, you know, I'm like an old curmudgeon if that's all I listen to. And I was like, no, music isn't the same today as it was when I was in high school, right? And, like, and everyone gets there. But like the majority of the stuff I listen to now is all within the past couple of years. And I'm like, it's like just super pumped about it. So, I mean, it's possible like that. Yeah. The break that, you know, we had a stretch of time when like Fall Out Boy was a thing and like a big thing and whatever, that kind of turned me off from it. Now I can come back and go, now there's all these really good bands that aren't, you know, maybe all over the radio and stuff, but just fantastic. And the break helped.
With my, you know, just like you with Apple Music and all that, I got the Google Music.
Ooh, the Google Music.
And the other day I was just like, you know, because there was a conversation on my Twitter. That's the great thing about Twitter, is sometimes just watching other people's conversations.
Yeah.
And they were just talking about 90s bands. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
90s bands. So I grabbed, like, Third Eye Blind.
Which, that album will always be up there for me.
And I was just like, this album is incredible.
Like, let's be honest, outside of that album that, you know, had Semi-Charm kind of like, I don't know if that was their debut or not, but their breakthrough album, I don't like any of their other albums. That album, though, is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So many hits on that album.
And I was like, I grabbed Blind Melon.
Okay,
I was listening to that. I'm like, geez, the 90s. I often think of the 90s as a waste period of music.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Well, then it's funny because when I was in the 90s, I thought of the 80s as a waste period of music. Then I got into the 2000s and I started listening to 80s music. You know, and I remember listening to music because I started listening to music in the 90s. Yeah. And I started with like Radio Oz, which was basically Radio Disney before Radio Disney was Radio Disney. They bought Radio Oz and became Radio Disney.
Okay.
But the majority of what I listened to on the radio was talk radio. That's how I became a crazy conservative teenager. And when I finally moved to Canada and I broke away from that and became a crazy liberal teenager.
Teenager, yeah. That makes sense.
A crazy liberal art student.
Yeah. Just like and, flipped a switch.
And so it was, you know, so now that I go back and I did listen to Third Eye Blind, that album, when I was in my teens. And it was probably the first like real mainstream album I listened to. I borrowed it from my brother. My mom saw the cover and thought it was like a girl being assaulted on the cover.
That's interesting, yeah.
And it might be true.
It might be true.
And she grabbed, you know, when they had lyrics as in all the liners. And she read some of the lyrics and she's like, this is all about drugs. There's a bone in my hand that connects to a drink that goes to a room where all the glasses clink. And she's like, the bone is a joint. And I'm like, you're just crazy, Mom. And then I listened to the album the other, you know, like a month ago. And I'm like, yeah, there's tons of drug references.
It is all about drugs. It's funny that you thought for a time that, you know, like the 90s was just like a wasteland. Because in my mind, I like look at the 90s. And obviously I loved it because it's the music that I grew up on. But when I look at music a lot of times, I like to kind of, you know, look at this, say a particular genre or band or whatever, and then kind of take the steps back to see where they came from. And I feel like the 90s was the last time, up to now anyways, where we've had this like explosion in like groundbreaking music. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you had obviously to kick off the 90s, Nirvana and grunge, right? Like that blew up. And that, like, you know, knocked hair metal out of its place and all this kind of stuff. And then from there you had, you know, like the first like pop punk, punk rock sort of revival. And then that, you know, the second wave revival coming later with like Blink and stuff in the late 90s, early 2000s. But then you also had like a genre that I'm not huge into, like hip hop, you know, like a group like NWA and that whole, like when you watch Straight Outta Compton, have you seen it?
Yeah, of course.
So, like, I mean, I don't know how much of that is, you know, like dramatized versus actual fact, but like watching that and just going, man, there was
Eazy-E is alive. That was dramatized.
Right. Like there's just like this explosion that even came out of that where we haven't seen anything like that. Whereas now I feel like more bands and artists are kind of like coming around and it's like recycling sounds again, you know, like sounds that came from, you know, like when we had like the whole indie folk explosion. Well, you're just taking music that's been traditional and around for a long time and, you know, slightly modifying it. And you could say the same thing about grunge and whatever, like they're just taking their punk rock roots and their harder rock roots. But at the same point, it was something new that broke onto the radio that nothing was like that. Right. So I'm getting off on a tangent, but I was just going to say, it's funny that, you know, like you for a while viewed the 90s as like a wasteland where I'm like, that was like, not to get like so nostalgic and like old man-ish, but I'm like, that was like the last great era of music.
Well, the problem was is I didn't listen to music when I was a kid.
Right, that's fair.
So I thought music was dumb and a waste of time. I'm going to listen to talk radio and the news.
Yeah. I'm going to be smart and educated.
I'm 12 and I got my Scotch rocks out in my pipe. I'm just like, tell me what to think, news.
Say, listening to your Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, totally. I would listen to Rush Limbaugh and all those crazy people.
Yeah. So that's fair. I mean, to not kind of grasp that. I mean, but even like in that period of time, I was like, I wasn't as into music as I later became. But so to be able to look back on some of that, I mean, the 90s was also a huge time for like one hit wonders, right? Like there are so many artists. It was like, holy. And now I think we just live in a time where with things like Apple Music and Google, you know, Play or whatever, Google Music and Spotify, where music is just so disposable. You know what I mean? Like I can sit there and be like, I want to listen to something new and, you know, go through 100 bands and, you know, quote unquote, add them to my collection, then never listen to them again because none of it really captured me. Whereas before you'd buy a CD and you'd be like, well, I paid $20 for this. I better get some value out of it.
If you can guess the song I thought of when you said One Hit Wonder, I'll give you $1,000.
I'm going to go with Fastball the Way.
No, Steal My Sunshine.
Ah, oh, it's Canadian. See, I didn't know if you'd go Canadian. That was on an old podcast that I hosted. We did an episode actually similar to this where it was like Guilty Pleasures. And that like Steal My Sunshine by Len was like my guilty pleasure song.
Steal my sunshine.
Drink. Grant is singing again. Grant is singing again. And with that, we're out of here. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Grand Affidavit, a podcast about nothing and everything at the same time. Follow us on Twitter at Grand Affidavit and on Facebook at facebook.com/Grand Affidavit. Yeah.